Suzanne Pickett, who wrote for many years for the Centerville Press, passed away in 1999, but now, 14 years later, New South Books has published this lucid, informative memoir of her life in Piper, West Blocton, Hague, and a number of other then-active coal mining communities in Bibb County. The jacket copy and publicity materials emphasize a highly dramatic event in the Bibb County community of Cullinore. Under Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal reforms, workers were finally free to unionize, and they did. 90% joined the United Mine Workers under their beloved John L. Lewis. Demands were made and refused. In March of 1934, a strike ensued, with the company once again bringing in strike-breaking substitute workers, scabs, and an army of men to guard them. Perhaps 1,000 outraged miners surrounded the guards' headquarters, armed with their own rifles and shotguns. The miners were incensed, willing to fight, even kill if necessary, but the mine owners capitulated, and miraculously, no blood was shed. These miners were normally law-abiding fellows, but they had a powerful grievance. 2 years earlier, just after the crash, many mines had closed, and the miners, down to a few days' work a month, were desperate, and their children were hungry. They petitioned for extended credit at the company store, not charity. Pickett writes, quote, "Every cent would be paid. They were honest men, hard-working when there was work, and they had guaranteed the debt," end quote. But the owner's answer, delivered by their spokesman, a Mr. Sherrod, was, quote, "Let them eat mussels, plenty of mussels in the Cahaba River. Let them eat hickory nuts," end quote. It seems Mr. Sherrod had not read much about Marie Antoinette and her fate. And, Pickett writes, "The miners knew how the owners lived over the mountain," quote, "Cadillacs, furs, jewels, trips to Europe. These had been the accepted way of life for them," end quote. No surprise here, the miners neither forgot nor forgave. As dramatic as this section is, it is not for me the best part of the memoir. I enjoyed the picture Pickett draws of daily life, regular family life, among these folk. Sue's husband, David, blonde, strong, handsome, the hero of her book, took the family for a while to West Virginia, where there was work. Homesick for Alabama, they traveled back and forth in a 1926 Studebaker named Thunderbolt, over the worst roads imaginable, every trip a life-threatening adventure. When they had troubles, however, strangers helped. The amount of sharing among poor people in this memoir is astonishing. Families pooled their resources. Those with food gave to the hungry. A stranger at the gate, usually on the move looking for work, was fed something and often given a bed for the night. Farmers who had little cash had gardens and orchards. Pickett's papa grew piles of corn, tomatoes, peas, squash, cucumbers. Papa even planted a field of okra open to anyone who needed some. Okra is magic. The more you cut, the more there is. Life was nevertheless incredibly hard. There was no cash for what must be bought: aspirin, sugar, coffee, shoes. There were frequent accidents at the mines. With families and friends living together, there was no space and no privacy. But as with Steinbeck's indomitable Jodes, the people endured, literally in this case, to tell the tale.